Hello, guys. I just said hello really weirdly, but well, today we're gonna be talking about ventriloquist dolls. Now, let's first start off with the history. Oh, and get right into the music, of course. Ventriloquism, or ventriloquy, is an act of stagecraft in which a person, a ventriloquist, creates the illusion that his or her voice is coming from elsewhere, usually a puppeteered prop known as a dummy. The act of ventriloquism is ventriloquizing. Say that 10 times fast. I bet you get tongue-tied. I get tongue-tied anyways. And the ability to do so is commonly called in English the ability to throw one's voice. Its origins are, it was originally, ventriloquism was a religious practice. That's weird. The name comes from the Latin for to speak from the stomach, i.e. venter, which means belly, and loqui, which means to speak, or speak. The Greeks called this gastromancy, and it has the word in Greek, which I cannot read. The noises produced by the stomach were thought to be the voices of the unliving who took up residence in the stomach of the ventriloquist. And basically, people thought it was like witchcraft. And it started out as like this creepy thing. I mean, it still is kind of creepy, but like, it's more widely accepted. The ventriloquist would then interpret the sounds as they were thought to be able to speak to the dead, as well as foretell the future. One of the earliest recorded group of prophets to use this technique was the Pythia, a priestess at the Sorry. The priestess at the Temple of Apollo and Delphi, who acted as the conduit for the Delphic Oracle. One of the most successful early gastromancers was Eurycles. Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it. A prophet at Athens. Gastromancers came to be referred to as Eurycles in his honor. In the Middle Ages, it was thought to be similar to witchcraft. Of course, because they were on that witchcraft kick back then. One of the uses was by people pretending to be mediums or those claiming to be or those claiming to cast out evil spirits and throwing the voice added to their credibility. It was not unusual for particularly women doing this to be accused and burnt as witches. Well, to put it this way, no matter what you did as a woman in those times, you could be seen as a witch, so. Kind of not running away from it, and it's and the fact that women were burnt for doing this back in that time, not really surprising. Honestly, not that special that they got burnt just for doing that. Yeah. As spiritualism led to stage magic and escapology, so ventriloquism became more of a performance art as starting around the 19th century, it shed its mystical trappings. Other parts of the world also have tradition of ventriloquism for ritual or religious purposes. Historically, there have been adepts of this practice among the Zulu, Inuit, and Maori? Yeah, people. Emergence as entertainment. The shift from ventriloquism as manifestation of spiritual forces toward ventriloquism as entertainment happened in the 18th century at the traveling fun fairs and market towns. An early depiction of ventriloquist dates of an early ventriloquist dates to 1754 in England, where Sir John Parnell is depicted in the painting An Election Entertainment by William Hogarth, as speaking via his hand, which is called a hand puppet, I think. Yeah. In 1757, the Austrian Baron de Mingen performed with a small doll. By the late 18th century, ventriloquist performances were an established form of entertainment in England, although most performers threw their voice to make it appear that it emanated from far away, rather than the modern method of using a puppet. A well-known ventriloquist of the period, Joseph Askins, who performed at the Sadler's Wells Theater in London in the 1790s, advertised his act as curious ad libitum dialogues between himself and his invisible familiar, Little Tommy. However, other performers were beginning to incorporate dolls or puppets into their performance, notably the Irishman James Byrne, who carries in his pocket an ill-shaped doll with a broad face, which he exhibits as giving utterance to his own childish jargon, and Thomas Garbutt. The entertainment came of age during the era of the music hall in the United Kingdom and vaudeville in the United States. George Sutton began to incorporate a puppet act into his routine at Nottingham in the 1830s, but it is Fred Russell who is regarded as the father of modern ventriloquism. In 1886, he was offered a professional engagement at the Palace Theatre in London and took up his stage career permanently. His act, based on the cheeky boy dummy Coaster Joe that would sit in his lap and engage in a dialogue with him, was highly influential for the entertainment format and was adopted by the next generation of performers. A blue plaque has been embedded in a former residence of Russell by the British Heritage Society, which reads, Fred Russell, the father of ventriloquism, lived here. Fred Russell's successful comedy team format was applied by the next generation of ventriloquists. It was taken forward by the British Arthur Prince, with his dummy sailor Jim, who became one of the highest paid entertainers on the music hall circuit. And by the Americans, the great Lester, Frank Byron Jr., and Edgar Bergen, Bergen popularized the idea of the comedic ventriloquist. Bergen, together with his favorite figure, Charlie McCarthy, hosted a radio program that was broadcast from 1937 to 1956. It was the number one program on the nights it aired. Bergen continued performing until his death in 1978, and his popularity inspired many other famous ventriloquists who followed him, including Paul Winchell, Jimmy Nelson, David Strassman, Jeff Dunham, Terry Fader, Ron Lucas, Wayland Flowers, Sherry Lewis, Willie Tyler, Jay Johnson, Nina Conti, Paul Zerdin, and Darcy Lynn. Another ventriloquist popular in the United States in the 1950s and 1960s was Senor Wences. The art of ventriloquism was popularized by Y.K. Paddy, and an M.M. Roy in South India, who are believed to be the pioneers of this field in India. The list just goes on and on. But you get the gist of it, so yeah. Next, we're going to be talking about some creepy stories of ventriloquist dolls, like, I don't know, maybe they're haunted or something. But yeah, we'll get into that right now. Right now. Okay, and this article is from thevocalvent.com, and it's titled Scary Ventriloquist Doll Stories. Let's get into it. And it has a creepy doll with blood spots, blood splatters. The doll has no pupils. The eyes are pure white. And the mouth is black and covered in blood. People love a good scary story, and scary ventriloquist dummies make for the best creepy stories yet. Have you heard of Mary Shaw? Perhaps it's a good thing. According to legend, Mary Shaw was a woman who was never able to have kids. So instead, she decided to collect dolls. Beware the stare of Mary Shaw. She had no children, only dolls. If you see her in your dreams, make sure you never scream, for she'll rip your tongue out at the seam. This poem refers to a ghost story that is still told in Raven's Fair. The poem also appeared in the movie Dead Silence. Many believe that this is just a tale that's told to scare little misbehaving children and keep them in line, but many believe that the old ghost story is real and has its origins in truth. Creepy legend of ventriloquist Mary Shaw. So, who was Mary Shaw? Mary Shaw was a ventriloquist who performed in carnivals and fairs in the early 1940s. One day, as Mary was performing in the old theater named Guignol? Yeah. A little boy in the audience made fun of Mary. His name was Michael Ashen. Michael called Mary a phony and laughed that he could see her lips moving while she performed her ventriloquism act. The audience howled with laughter and mocked Mary. Mary Shaw was humiliated and embarrassed. But Mary was a strong woman, and she vowed to herself that she would not let this unfortunate incident go. For nobody mocked Mary Shaw and got away with it. Weeks passed and everyone forgot about the humiliating event, but not Mary. Weeks after Michael Ashen mocked Mary publicly, he went missing. Everyone in town, including the Ashen family, were certain that Mary had something to do with Michael's disappearance. They scoured the town, held search parties, vigils, but nothing. Michael did not turn up. By now, a mob mentality ruled the town since people began to suspect that Mary had something to do with the boy's disappearance. The terrifying tale of Mary Shaw. One night, a group of local townsmen went to confront Mary. They were certain that Mary killed the boy. They entered her small cottage and yelled at her to confess what she had done with the boy. Mary shrieked in terror that she was innocent and that she had not part in the boy's disappearance. That's a weird way of putting it, but the men did not believe her. They grabbed her, tortured her, but Mary still would not confess. As the men's fury and rage grew, one of them grabbed a knife. And as Mary screamed for mercy, he cut off her tongue, and they left her to bleed to death, writhing in agony. Poor Mary died, but she was not alone. She was surrounded by her children, who witnessed the horrible, bloody murder of their mother. When news spread throughout the town that Mary had gotten her just desserts, people were pleased. They never trusted a woman who performed at carnivals and who could make dolls speak. She was probably a witch anyway, and they were glad to be rid of her. When the local undertaker was called to take care of Mary's body, he realized that Mary had an unusual request when it came to the disposition of her body. She wanted to be buried with her children. She was also to be made up to look like a ventriloquist dummy herself. The local mortician did as was in her will out of respect for the dead. For in those times, local form and superstition went hand in hand. Now for a few days, the town was quiet. There was an eerie pall in the air, which no one could explain. The sky seemed darker and the birds did not sing. The flowers in the gardens began to wilt, although no one could explain why. And then it began. The first to be murdered was Jedediah Giles, the man who had cut off Mary's tongue that frightful night when the mob entered her home. But it was not Mary who cut off his tongue. It was one of her dolls. Every night following the first murder, for 30 consecutive days, a man who had been involved in the killings of Mary Shaw ended up dead. all with their tongues cut out. And Dahl was responsible for outside their homes, fresh tracks could be seen of tiny little Dahl feet walking from Mary's grave to each person's house. But it didn't end there. Mary's ghost also rose up to haunt and plague the family of these men. She took revenge on the children and wives of the murderous fiends who killed her. This time, family members or neighbors said they'd seen the shadow or faint outline of a woman walking in shredded tatters of clothing and garish makeup made to look like a ventriloquist dummy, her gray hair flowing in the wind, and in her hand, a butcher's knife. All the victims were found the same way, with their mouths agape and their tongues cut out. Apparently, they'd been in mid-scream when Mary cut out their tongues. Well, that's kind of the way she died as well. So, like, hint, hint. And that's why, to this day, the residents of Raven's Fair will not speak Mary Shaw's name. And they tell their children not to speak her name, for they know that Mary will visit them in their sleep and cut off their tongue to avenge the ghastly deed that was done to her. Is the curse that Mary Shaw placed real? If you want to know more about Mary Shaw, then watch the movie Dead Silence. You'll get a scream out of it. If you get a kick of scary puppet or doll stories, then watch this freaky video. Okay. I'm gonna watch the video. Creepy moment, haunted puppet
creepy
said.
Creepy moment, haunted puppet said to have choked its previous owner starts moving on its own inside a sealed glass container in the middle of the night. Paranormal investigator Jane Harry's given puppet by scared former owner. He said it tried to strangle him while he was sleeping in bed with his wife. Jane took
oh my
it
gosh,
and locked
it's moving.
It in glass container, filming it nightly for 3 months. Spooky footage shows its operating cross move across the box and fall against glass pane. A creepy puppet said to have choked its former owner has been filmed moving inside a sealed glass container in the dead of night. Paranormal investigator Jane Harris, 32, from Stourbridge, West Midlands, recorded the puppet every night for 3 months after its previous owner claimed it tried to choke him to death. And last month, she was left dumbfounded when her cameras caught the chilling moment the wooden doll appears to come to life. Night vision footage shows the puppet's operating cross slowly moving upright before crashing into one of the sealed box's glass panes. Jane, who investigates haunted dolls, said, "I've never heard anything as exciting as this. I've caught pictures of mists, orbs and shadows, but nothing as physical as this video evidence."
Wow.
"For as there is no point in faking your own evidence as it's only tricking yourself, this footage is real. No, we're going to keep filming with motion sensors as this is just one video and we want to build a bigger picture. Currently we don't know the name or anything else about the spirit. Our ultimate goal is to find out as much as we can about the spirit and then try to understand why he is still here. trained psychologist Jane, who has been investigating spiritual attachment to haunted puppets for 17 years, took the old man puppet in November last year after its former owner claimed to have been choked by a spirit connected to the children's toy and also experiencing haunting nightmares.
Subscribe to us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
I guess you could do that. But, like, yeah. These next few stories, maybe, are from the website toplessrobot.com, and it's called The 10 Creepiest Ventriloquist Tales of All Time. Let's get into it. Oh, and the article is by Patrick Copper. So, yeah. In nearly every movie concerning ventriloquists, they are portrayed as schizophrenic, nefarious creeps with serious social problems. Where does this stereotype come from? The art itself goes back to necromancers who would pretend to act as speakers for the dead for grieving family members who could pay up front. Many believed that ventriloquists were in league with the devil, and in the 18th century there was a formal scientific investigation in France to investigate how ventriloquism actually worked. And of course, science in the 18th century was not all it was really cracked up to be. Back then. Because they were not at where we are at now, so. After the alleged unholy alliance of ventriloquists was debunked, okay, so they debunked that, which is a good thing, the art flourished throughout Europe and the US, from vaudeville to packed theaters. In a documentary concerning the film Magic, ventriloquist Dennis Allwood states that there is some truth in the psychological aspects of the art as it is portrayed by Hollywood. He explains that every professional ventriloquist has suffered from what psychologists call spontaneous schizophrenia. The brain of a ventriloquist is working for essentially two people, the ventriloquist and the dummy. And every once in a while, the dummy will say something unscripted, and the ventriloquist will be forced to react to it. Harmless, maybe, but what it really boils down to is the unblinking eyes of the dummy give people an uncontrollable case of the willies. Funny. And movies have exploited this for almost a century. There are dozens of films starring these little soulless dolls with big personalities and their ability to make any audience very uneasy. Here are the top 10 creepiest. Making Contact, aka Joey. Let's see if the video will load.
Joey's just an ordinary kid. Never believed in magic tricks or superpowers.
Did you see that?
Or evil spirits, living ghosts, or haunted houses.
Hold on.
Where Joey began. Making Contact, rated PG.
Hmm. Okay. In a completely unrelated note in the story, the ghost of an evil magician and his dummy Fletcher arrive on the scene and start messing with Joey's life, as if he doesn't have enough going on. Fletcher, the dummy, sounds like Tom Waits and can shoot lightning out of his glasses. But in a twist, it turns out Fletcher is only trying to protect Joey from the evil magician. Well, it may not be that creepy to TR readers. Take into account that this is supposedly a children's movie. 10-year-olds don't listen to Tom Waits for a reason. Number 9, and this was talked about in the last segment, the segment before this, or not the segment before this, but when we talked about MS, because I've said her name a few too many times while reading that. Don't want to get my tongue cut out. But this is the trailer for Dead Silence. If it'll load.
Come softly, darling. Come softly, darling. Jamie?
I think I've seen this too. I have definitely seen this. From the writer and director of Saw.
There's an old ghost story around here about a woman named Mary Shaw.
The ventriloquist who lost her voice.
Comes a
back
new
when
experience.
When I was a boy, a little boy, went missing.
There was only ever one suspect, Mary Shaw.
On the razor's edge of fear.
She was murdered.
The men cut out her tongue.
And this town has been plagued by death ever since. Families found without their tongues.
This March.
She was buried with her doll collection.
Her children, as she called them.
They will come
somebody
to life.
All 100 of them.
With a vengeance.
They came back. They didn't stay dead. She's here.
What's going on?
Beware the stare of Mary Shaw. She had no children, only dolls.
Destroy the dolls!
Or she'll rip your tongue out at the scene.
Dead Silence. This March. But not this March, because March already passed, and this movie came out a while ago, probably. I don't know. Long-standing popular fear of dummies, but the whole thing feels uninspired and lacks punch. While it feels as an effective horror film, it presents some interesting approaches to performers and their obsession with their craft. The twist at the end is great, but it's too little too late, and involves two characters that had almost nothing to do with the rest of the movie. Number 8 is called Devil Doll, and the video is unavailable. When I clicked to play it, it said, video unavailable. This video is no longer available. but the YouTube account associated with this video has been terminated. Because the YouTube account associated with this video has been terminated. Voodoo or some crap can make women fall in love with him by just opening his mouth. He's like an evil beetle. His dummy, Hugo, possibly a nod to the dummy in our number two spot, can do remarkable things like walk around on his own and mysteriously Vorelli locks him up in a steel cage at night. If you haven't figured out Hugo's terrible secret yet, don't worry, because it's too a really, really mean word that is not going to be said on this podcast. Because it's so dumb, it'll make you want to punch the nearest person in the face. I regret going to this website. It's not like this person's like a professional film critic or something. Maybe they are, I don't know, but seriously, just let people enjoy the movie. Number 6 is The Ventriloquist's Dummy from Tales from the Crypt. Let's start the video.
Good evening, fear fans. You're just in time. Contents: one ventriloquist dummy, Hackme Novelty Company, Battle Shriek, Michigan. Oh, goody. Watch this, kiddies. You won't see my lips move. You know why? I don't have any! Well, hello, Dickie. Would you like me to tell a tale from the crypt? No thanks, Death Breath. Then how about sitting a little closer to the fire? That's better. Now I can dole out a diseased little ditty about the schizophrenic nature of showbiz and how to hack your way to the top. So grab hold of your guts, kiddies, because tonight you get to rub elbows with the ventriloquist's dummy.
So you're going to Africa on safari, huh? Are you crazy? That's very dangerous. You could run across a very angry lion.
I'll have my gun with me.
Does it shoot lions?
No, stupid, it shoots bullets. Lions are too big to load.
How about a nice knuckle of power? Can it be? Listen, maybe you ought to skip on that. Stay home and go hunt the geese. Ducks, geese.
But I can't tell the difference between ducks and geese.
It's very easy. Ducks go quack, quack. Understand? And geese go honk, honk. If a pack of birds fly over and they go honk, honk, what do?
Pull over and let him pass.
What the hell are you talking about? What are you seals? That's one of my big ones. And the fat guy better laugh. I see you, the fat guy. I'm going to put stripes on your face and roll you down the beach for a half hour. Very seriously, I'm looking around and I see the food that's on the tables. There's flies are starting to die, right? Right on the plate. How's the food in this place, huh?
Don't eat. I brought my girl here for dinner last night, and she found a bug in her soup.
Oh, that's terrible. What happened?
She yelled, "Waiter, remove this insect at once."
And?
The guy threw me out.
That was a good one, huh, lady? The old broad came alive. I've been up here a half hour, and the old broad finally went, "That was a good one, Lou. Stop coughing when I'm delivering funny lines. Put yourself in a hospital and just lay there with the covers open and let the nurse stare at you."
Look, if you're hungry, just order something. I hear the tongue sandwich is pretty good.
Well, I'll be very honest with you. I never eat anything that comes from an animal's mouth.
Well, then, how about some eggs?
I didn't catch that joke.
Hold on to the this autograph, kid. It'll be worth a bundle someday.
What do you want to be when you grow up, Billy?
A ventriloquist, just like you.
Nonsense. He wants to be a doctor, don't you, Billy?
Hey, Bill. Anytime you need any advice or a few tips, feel free to look me up, okay, kid?
Golly, Mr. Ingalls. Thanks.
What, Mom?
It's lovely. Let's go.
She's such a slut.
We still got our date, don't we? I know this great little after-hours joint.
I'm not feeling very well.
What do you mean you're not feeling very well?
Don't listen to him, baby. He's never felt better. Let's go.
And where are you going to take me to?
How about our bungalow, Toots? We'll show you our etchings.
You are so cute. And you? You're not so bad yourself. He seriously just unbuckled the doll.
Well, 136. Must be it. Hi, Mr. Ingalls. Hello, sir. Hi, sir. You probably don't remember me. My name is Billy Goldman. I met you a long time ago.
So rude.
Hey, it ain't gonna be that long, huh? What's on your mind? Make your point.
I'm Billy Goldman. You said I could look you up.
Oh, yeah?
Well, it was 15 years ago. I was 11 years old.
Oh, he's got a memory like an elephant. How lucky can you get?
I was there. I saw your last performance.
How was I?
You were great. You're unbelievable.
Good answer. Who writes your material?
Wow. Is that Morty?
No, hey, don't touch that. Leave it alone, will you? He's retired, like me. What is it with you? What do you want from me?
So much history. So many memories. Showgirl dies in tragic resort fire. Famous ventriloquist injured.
Maybe not
so
great.
Some memories are better than others. I'm not even sure how the fire started. All I know is I lost everything that night. Everything.
Couldn't you operate on Morty with your left hand?
Left. That's good for opening doors and swatting flies. This is the hand that had the magic in it. Why did you come, huh? To stir up old memories? To pry into my pain? Speak up, damn it!
No, he came for tips.
Tomorrow is amateur night at the Nautical Club. I wanted my first time in front of an audience to be on the very same stage that I saw you perform. I was hoping that maybe you could come by and give me your critique. You know,
okay. Horrible truth behind Morty the Dummy is revealed. It's hilarious, gory, and very well acted. And the Morty reveal is gross and hilarious. Although, so were all the best tales from the Crypt episodes. Number 7 is Black Devil Doll from The Underworld. I'm just not gonna say it. And I recorded this part once before, but I pushed the video and I did not know. Like, I put on the video and I did not know what it was gonna say. So, and it said some pretty uncomfortable things. It had some uncomfortable content in it, like some uncomfortable words. But yeah, so we're just gonna, I'm not gonna put that part in this episode. Whatsoever, the store owner tries to explain to Helen the dummy's checkered backstory, but is quickly drowned out by the film's soundtrack. After Helen brings the dummy back to her house, the film quickly spirals into the realm of a nasty video. It's very hard to watch, and it might be impossible to do so without a bottle nearby. It honestly plays out like a fiction. Plays out like a fan fiction Friday. If you're feeling brave and decide to download a torrent of the film, be prepared for 40 minutes of black following the credits. Oh, there was another film called Black Devil Doll from the Underworld. It uses a different name for the Underworld, but yeah. It was made in 2007, but it has no connection to the 1984 film besides the name. Number 5 is The Great Gabbo, and the video is not available. So, girlfriend/assistant who leaves him for another entertainer. In a nice change of storytelling for the dummy horror genre, Otto is actually a really nice dummy, and what little humanity is left in Gabbo is reflected through bug-eyed Otto. But sadly, the loss of his girl drives Gabbo over the edge. It's a great early movie, and the last few minutes are haunting in that this is old and haunting way. Number 4, The Dummy from the Twilight Zone. And the video, again, is unavailable. Goofy goggles and finds him a whole lot more pleasant than Willy. But Jerry soon finds out that he can't just lock Willy in a case and expect him to go away because Willy has other plans. The same dummy is used in the 1964 episode, Caesar and Me. Number 3, The Glass Eye from Alfred Hitchcock's... From Alfred Hitchcock Presents. The video, again, is unavailable. In love with him, following him across the country, and eventually gaining an audience with him. Without giving away too much, the episode also stars Billy Bardi, who played Gwildor in the Motu movie. M-O-T-U. So, yeah. Number 2, Dead of Night. And the video is unavailable. In the audience, the business-savvy Hugo invites Sylvester back to the dressing room, where he witnesses a bizarre interaction between Maxwell and Hugo. Years later, a drunken, paranoid Maxwell believes that Sylvester has stolen Hugo. What happens next lands Maxwell in an asylum. Some genius psychologist believes that putting Hugo in the cell with Maxwell will be the cure. And what follows is the most haunting ending in ventriloquism history. Although only 30 minutes long, the dummy manages to convincingly reflect an unbalanced mentality of Maxwell and deliver a knockout blow during the final seconds. In the immortal words of Hugo, good night, sleep tight, and wake up sober. Number 1 is Magic, and the video's unavailable. Fats executive from NBC offer Corky a pilot, but Corky refuses to take the required medical exam because of his principles. In actuality, Corky is just doesn't want them to poke around his head and discover he's completely mental. So Corky retreats to the boondocks of upstate New York, where he reconnects with an old flame from high school. Unfortunately, Fats takes the renewed romance personally. What makes Magic so remarkable is the juxtaposition between the romantic drama and psychological thriller. One second, there are moments of gentle melodrama, then the camera quickly cuts to a shot of Fats sitting stationary in an armchair, eyes half closed, while Jerry Goldsmith's unsettling score plays. There are so many remarkably disturbing scenes in the film, but the Simon Says-esque scene towards the end stands out in the ventriloquism genre, or any horror movie that of that matter. As Fats shouts out orders, Corky frantically obeys until he commands Corky to get a knife. Corky does as he's told, but the ending is not what you'd expect. Alright, I'm gonna try to make this outro short, because we're already running a time of 53 minutes and 53 seconds, which is kind of impressive. But anyways, that was the history paranormal stories. Basically, most of the stories were just movies, and this stupid critic guy, I use air quotes around critic, because he may not actually be a critic, but yeah, just basically was someone reviewing the movie. But anyways, I hope you guys have a great day, a great life, a great whatever. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you next time. Bye!